Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This feeling that I've been through before. I got this feeling that I've been through before.
Pew, 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 pew. You know what that sound means? Time for another episode of We Know's Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell.
Did you love that? Should I introduce the show that way always?
No.
Cool. All right. I'll try a different one next week. Life is happening.
It's
that's
happening.
For sure.
Life's happening.
Happy Valentine's
Life
Day.
Life moves pretty fast.
If you don't stop to look around, you might just miss it.
I was so relieved last night. My friend sent me a message, just like offhand, talking about her daughter's Valentine's, and I was like, "Oh, right, that's a thing. I have to do that now." There's so many things to do. I got Bryn some like $4 Valentines from the CVS.
It's been on my list for a while. I knew that that's something we would have to do not the day before. I can't count on him to write 21 names in a single day. So thank you for doing that. And boy, we had time to do it today because Bryn has a fever.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
I stayed home all day. It was very easy. He's not super sick.
He loves TV.
He watched Pinocchio, and then he watched The Emperor's New Groove. Then he watched Robin Hood. Then he watched Fox and the Hound.
And then when I got home, Maven was watching WALL-E.
Well, then he watched Ratatouille. And then he started watching WALL-E before bed.
How many hours are there in this day? That's like the longest day.
He watched 5 full-length movies. We also went to the bank. We went to the store.
Wow.
I don't know. Actually, and we got all of his Valentine's cards prepared and written and
Incredible.
Folded in an envelope. I don't think there's that many hours in a day.
You know, if you make TV a priority, it's really incredible what you can do.
You can accomplish. If you really
set
your mind to it.
Yeah.
Well, Bryn's reviews are in. You know what his favorite movie of all those was?
What?
Do you want to guess? You don't remember a single one?
I don't. I remembered like 2 of them. Ratatouille?
It was Robin Hood. Although I think maybe I asked him the question before he watched Ratatouille. So you might be right.
Yeah, I might be.
So Bryn, after 10 days of, what's it called? Antibiotics, is immediately sick again. Just a fever.
It's probably my fault because I did take them outside the home yesterday. So.
All right, don't take them out of the walls. That's where it happens.
I will say our kids get these little fevers that are not that bad compared to, like, I feel like everyone I've been talking to seems to be getting the flu or something really gross this year, and we've, knock on wood, managed to avoid that.
Yeah, listen, we haven't had anything terrible.
We've just had some gross rashes and ear infections and things.
Just impetigo and double impetigo. I don't know how to say it.
I don't know how to say it either.
Double ear infection, inexplicable vomit.
What?
That happened fairly recently with Maven. But Bryn, boy, he is sick. Like, he was so, like, sweet. You know, that kind of sick where he just gets tired and he just, like, wanders into where I am and then sits down next to me and just, like, stares at the wall and then slowly just puts his head down on my leg.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, like, Bryn not coming in to give a monologue.
Yeah, he, like, wakes up monologuing.
He's like,
today is Monday, and we're doing this.
Even when he doesn't want to, he goes, no, I don't want to wake up because today's day four and this library day. That was yesterday, and I don't like P.E. and don't give me one fried egg. Before he's opened his eyes.
Yeah.
But tonight he crawled in to bed with me and just fell asleep before bedtime. So I know that he is sick.
Yeah.
That and the 101 temperature he had all day.
And he didn't go to the doctor, but no, he did eat food.
It was like 101.0.
Did he eat food?
I packed him a lunch, and so he had his packed lunch, but he did not eat very much. I kept just trying to give him water, and he had some dinner, but he's a sick boy. And Maven's just stubborn.
She, I didn't tell you this, but like, I don't know, hour ago, she woke up or never had fallen asleep, and she's like making noise in there after crying a lot when you put her to bed. And then I went in there and she was like, she keeps doing this like pouty thing where she's like, just won't move and like doesn't, and so she walked over to her pajama drawer and she opened it and just kept kind of doing that. And I was like, what do you want? And she like wanted to put her pajamas on, and I was like, okay, fine, because we put her to bed in her clothes, which are comfortable clothes.
She's wearing an outfit that is basically pajamas, and Bryn was already in bed, so the lights were out, and right. I didn't want to wake him up.
Anyway, but I don't know if she had, like, I feel like part of her just, like, didn't feel right not in her pajamas.
It was not a regular routine.
She's like, yeah, she's very... into that works. Tactile experience.
Both of them want to tell you how things work.
Yeah.
For dinner tonight, we played a trivia where I gave them both math problems. You would have hated it, but I loved it. And Maven's pretty good at math.
What kind of math problems were you giving
3
her?
Plus 2.
Wow.
She figured it out. I mean, she has to look at her fingers and put them together. But she's, I mean, that's math. She figured it out.
That's math.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but putting up fingers and putting them together.
For our listeners, what math. Peter's explaining is if you put up your fingers and put them together, that's math.
Okay, for example, 3 plus 2. Hold 3 fingers up on one hand and 2 on the other, and then just push them close to each other, yeah. Then you'll see that there's 5 fingers.
That's really all math is.
Math is.
Math is fingers. Cool.
Yeah.
What else happened this week? I feel like I'm living in such a blur now. Although I think our things have finally started to settle down around here.
A little bit. You're back.
I'm back.
Did you tell us about your book, your whirlwind book release party?
A really great.
Being away from.
Whirlwind.
Really great whirlwind.
I had fun. We had a really great book party at this lesbian bar in
Babes.
And what else? People are when I'm away are always like, so do your kids miss you? Do you really miss your kids? Like stuff like that. And I was like, no, it's 2 nights. They barely noticed I'm gone. Like because I sometimes get home after bedtime from work, it's like, doesn't register to them that I've been
gone.
Oh,
they miss you. They tell me all about it. They tell me how much I am not suitable for their needs.
What did they say? They usually don't register, though, I feel like. What did they say?
I want mommy.
Oh.
They love you.
Classic.
You're the light of their life, the world. And I get it because I feel the same.
Thank you. That's all I'm asking you to acknowledge. But, well, Maven this week.
Oh, hold on. Can we talk about the fact that you got a tattoo?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a tattoo while I was away, and Maven says that it's not a tattoo because when she feels it, it's flat. And she said, that's nothing. That's not a tattoo.
I explained to them that it's permanent. And they said, what's permanent mean? I was like, forever. And then Bryn like was like, see him piecing together, like, mommy chose to have a thing on her arm forever. Then he goes, but when will it wash off? Like, it doesn't. It's a real tattoo.
Well, it's funny. So the tattoo I got, for those of you who don't follow me on Instagram, is...
You'll have to buy the book.
You'll have to buy the book. But it's an illustration from me and Jackie's book, There's No Manual, Honest and Gory Wisdom About Having a Baby. And it's based on the Benjamin Franklin political cartoon of the colonies when it says...
Join or die.
Join or die. But ours is...
It's a snake that's chopped into 13 pieces like the colonies, right?
Yeah, yeah. But our version has a bunch of boobs all over it. So it's...
It's a lady snake.
Yeah, it's...
You know, because it's got snake. It's got little eyelashes.
Yeah. And...
And about 30 titties.
When Bryn... When Bryn, like what my sister was asking about it, Bryn kept trying to explain it. And he was like, it's a cut-up snake. It's a cut-up snake. Like,
he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. It's a cut-up snake.
The weird thing is that you and Jackie told me about the tattoos while recording last week's podcast, and it did not register in my brain that it was a real thing.
Yeah, you thought it was a joke.
No, for some reason, I think I was just so wrapped up in... the tech and the recording.
Yeah, you were a little like detached last week, as were we. I think we're all very tired and trying to record remotely.
The telephone has a delay and yeah. It's hard to talk.
But yeah, it was fun.
And until Jackie sent me a picture of your arm and I was like, yeah, that seems like something Beth wouldn't tell me about until it's over because she doesn't want my opinion on it. And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's the most you thing you've ever done.
Well, the thing is, sometimes even though I know I'm not going to consider someone's opinion, it's very hard to listen to people's opinions.
Oh, I know. I know that about you.
Yeah.
I can't say that I understand it because my brain doesn't work that way at all. I need validation. But there's no judgment. I think I used to judge you for that.
I feel like you said in a recent episode where you were like, I just don't think about what people think of me. And I was like, I feel like it's not entirely a woman thing, but I do think it doesn't help being a woman that everyone expects you to care about their feelings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I feel like it's sort of a privilege that you don't have that wired into your brain on a deep, uncomfortable level.
It's totally different. I don't remember the context of me saying that, but it is a lie if I said I don't care what people think of me.
I don't know.
I think I can let things go.
Yeah.
I can let more pass through me, probably.
I'm working on it.
You're doing, Beth, you're
but
doing
it
great.
I think what doesn't help is that I... really am like I can feel what people are feeling in any moment regardless of what they're saying, and it's really hard to tune out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, I'm just like, great, I know you are judging me.
Yeah.
Anyway,
sometimes
I just like to do stuff without talking to anyone about it because
what did you think that I would not want you to get a tattoo?
I didn't think you would say that. I think you would be like, well, it's a thing you can do. Like, there would be like implied judgment. Like when I texted you the photo of it, you texted back and said, "I love you." And I was with Jackie, and she was like, "What did he say when you showed him?" And I told her what he said. And then she laughed because she was like, "It's just so implied. It's like, I love you in spite of this thing." Either way,
you texted that to me, and you want to know what went through my mind?
Yeah, what?
I said, there is nothing I could say that won't be interpreted that way. So my reply, I was like, Beth didn't tell me. She's going to assume that I'm judgmental about this. So I'm literally just going to reply in the most positive way I possibly could.
I liked the reply, but it was just very funny.
I know. That's so, I mean, that was my intention, was to show you that I support you 100%. But I understand it might have come across as trying too hard.
Even if I mar my flesh.
I support.
Yeah.
Yeah, there would be a different time in my life where I think you told me at one point you think about getting a tattoo a long time ago, and my reaction was like, why would you want to do that? Because I wouldn't. But I'm not you.
Yeah.
And you're not me.
We've since had to discuss a lot of things about my body and how I wanted it to go down with my own body.
What?
We've had two children.
Oh, right, right. Oh, yes, yes. We have talked about your body.
Choices about my body have been the subject of much discussion.
It's true. I've thought about it more than I had at one point in my life.
Yeah.
Well, it's a fun. It is a perfect tattoo.
Thank
for you.
You
thematically. It also looks really cool, and then you look close, and you're like, "Oh, this is absurd." That's got like a bunch of little titties on it. I'm sorry that I keep saying.
That's how I want people to look at me and be like, this looks really cool. Oh, this is absurd.
I'm really uncomfortable with how many times I've said the word titties tonight. What a terrible word.
Well,
how else do you describe snake breasts?
Well, as Jackie said, it's a tit snake. And that's.
There you go.
Just what it is.
It's.
I think it's funny. It's funny that, like, a lot of people, like, whenever you're kind of a woman doing anything, men like to come over and observe the curiosity of women. And so when I was getting the tattoo by Jackie's mom friend, who was a really cool tattoo artist in Richmond, these guys would wander over who worked there and just like inspect the tattoo and then not say a word and walk away.
You know, they're thinking, tit snake?
Yeah, they're like, tit snake? I think I was realizing it tonight. Like, I was like, I feel like, I don't know if it was this tattoo or what, but I was out tonight and I felt like these guys were eyeing me in a weird way. And I was like, oh, it's like, it doesn't matter how like grotesquely feminist anything you do, men will somehow reinterpret it as like an invitation for them. Like, they're, you know, like, it's just. It's just like
there's something very confusing about, first of all, breasts on a reptile, but breasts on a snake, which is our thing. It's very phallic.
Our thing?
Yeah, yeah. It's a big penis, a snake, and you put tits all over it.
I don't think a snake is your thing. Snakes are associated with like Eve and like evil women, Medusa. But
well,
sure,
I mean,
you can have that too. Fine. We can't even be evil anymore.
I was trying to. Fine, you can be evil. I'm just saying it's very phallic, a snake, but it's also it's a flaccid penis, so it's evil and angry
and weak.
And then you put boobs all on it, and so it's a symbol.
I don't think of snakes as flaccid.
It's a symbol of emasculation. That's how they read it. I was going for it. I don't believe anything I'm saying. I'm just going for it.
Anyway. It's really turned me into a very sexy woman.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And now it's time for, do you notice what they said? What they're saying?
Do you know what they said? Okay.
This is where we drop some quotes from our kids.
This is where we drop some quotes.
We drop them.
So my sister was here and I was in the other room and Bryn was like getting himself a drink or something in the kitchen, and we heard like a clatter, and then he goes, "Ugh, why do I always get a problem with cups?" And it's very true.
I call that character Uncle Bryn.
Uncle Bryn.
What's up with me and cups?
Yeah.
That's been happening a lot, where he pulls out a gallon of milk that he's not strong enough.
Oh my God.
He doesn't understand that 2 inches of milk is a different weight than a full gallon of milk.
Right. He's just... It's like he's a child. He's so stupid.
It's almost like he's 5 and a half.
He's so bad at it. It drives me crazy. That's all I had for that quote.
What? Say it again.
Why do I always got a problem with cups?
That's his first album right there.
Yeah.
They're going hard on... toward independence these days.
They're going hard toward independence, yeah.
In their own ways. Bryn, I think I've already talked about this, but, you know, it's dawning on him that we're moving, and he's blabbing to everybody about the fact, because, you know, we're moving to Brooklyn. Oh, if you didn't hear, we're moving to Brooklyn. We visited his new school. It's a smaller school, and there's a lot of kids sick when he went and visited. And he noticed the class had like 8 kids in the class, and there's only one boy. And he was so scared. I didn't think he really registered that, but later.
No, I think he registered it because you said it out loud in front of him. You were like, his class is only going to have like 2 boys.
No. I never said it. I said that after he brought it up to me. This is a while ago. He started saying, "Am I going to be here for this birthday? This my friend's birthday?" And he goes, "Well, I'm only going to have one friend that's a boy." And I was like, "Why?" And then it dawned on me that, oh, there was one boy in that class. And
I selfishly want him to be in a class full of girls.
Well, I mean, I want him to have, like, being a boy is like an important thing to him in this moment.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't want him to have no boys in his class. I just like the heavy female ratio.
It's going to be a thing, you know, where we have no idea what this mix of kids is going to be. And it's going to be a smaller group because it's a newer school. So the older grades, which at this point it goes up to second grade right now, is smaller. So there could be, you know, four boys in the class.
Who knows?
I was in a class. When I moved to Minnesota, I was in a 3-4-5 class. It was a weird, like, progressive mix them all up. Two teachers had grades 1-5, and one class had 1, 2, and half of 3, and the other class had the other half of 3, 4, and 5. And then they'd switch teachers during the day.
Very confusing.
It was just it was called continuous progress. So you had...
They were like, and a 1, and a 2.
And 1, 2, learn. No, you were with the same two teachers for 5 years. And it was this, you know.
That's a bad idea.
It didn't work for me because there were three boys my age. And so I remember going home crying every day because the girls made fun of me.
Very traumatic childhood you've had.
They called me Petrie the portable potty.
I think we've discussed this on this podcast.
The trauma of my childhood?
The incredible... I don't want to continue talking about it because I know it's so hard for you.
No, I'm strong now.
Okay, Petrie.
Okay, that's a low blow. It's probably 2 days of my life that I stretched out as into the whole year.
It's really become a defining moment of your life. Back to the topic of our children trying to express their independence. Maven has asserted herself this week in her desire to grow out her bangs.
That's right, like mommy.
Like, she wants to look like me. I'm weirdly shocked by this because I remember deciding at like age 5 or 6 that I was done with bangs and I wanted to grow them out and I thought they were like babyish.
Yeah.
And so the fact that Maven is having this epiphany at 3 feels like very mature to me. And I'm like, how are you so aware? Like, she's been talking about getting rid of her bangs for a while, like every haircut. And she thought we should cut them off. Yeah. And then we've explained to her over and over again that you have to grow them out. And she's determined to do that. Like, she's like, I don't want bangs. I want to look like mommy.
Yeah.
Which is very flattering.
Yeah. Well, I don't think she doesn't associate them with being babyish.
No, that was my baggage about my bangs.
I mean, give it a couple years and she'll get there. But by then, that's how long it takes to grow bangs, right?
I am like, part of me is like, oh, she looks so cute with bangs. But I also am like so impressed that she has an opinion that I'm like, sure, grow out your bangs.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny. It's just so Maven that she's like so aware of this at 3.
I don't know how it came up. Like, one of us must have asked her at some point.
I think it was just the process of her, like, when I was like trimming her bangs and stuff and talking about her bangs, she like had this realization that not everyone has bangs.
Boy, I went to a bad barber shop.
Yeah, our kids got some not great haircuts. They're fine.
They're fine. They're not straight or even.
It's better than what our kids looked like before they went to get their haircut.
No, they look good. They're fine. I went there, and this happened to me before, where I made a reservation, and then I showed up at the right time, an appointment, rather, and I waited an hour. And I was like, why did I have an appointment? And then I watched, so I didn't make one, and I just showed up. And they were like, yeah, go ahead, you're next. It was 11 o'clock that we sat down as this smaller kid was finishing up. And then this family arrived and they had an 11 o'clock appointment. And they said, okay, just wait. And there was one barber.
I get it though. Like, when you're in the kids' haircut business, it's got to be like feast or famine. And so there's like most days of the week, no one's walking in there. And then all of a sudden there's all these tired parents running in on a Saturday morning. And like, they're like, yeah, just come in now. We'll try to squeeze you all in because that's their payday.
Yeah,
that's when they cash in on kids' haircuts.
But they have zero customer service. That no one's going, we'll try to squeeze you in. They just said, okay, great. And they gesture over. And I can just hear this parent, this couple next to us being so stressed, like, didn't you make an appointment at 11? He goes, yeah. And then both these people ahead of this, like, yes. Like, should we go have lunch and come back? I'll go ask. And he goes, if we go to lunch, and they try to explain, if we go to lunch and we come back, will we have our place? And this woman just kept being like, yeah, you can come back if you want. And they realized, like, oh, this appointment.
She's not making any promises.
No one's going to make any effort. Another couple came in, and they were like, oh, is it going to be a while? Can I come back at 11:45? And she goes, sure. And I was like, so many people are going to walk in. And I saw it exactly.
I respect that, though. Like, she's like, this is my business model. You either accept it or you don't.
See, the thing is, it's not even that deliberate. It's just, oh, yeah, each haircut takes 15 minutes. I haven't noticed that all of them take 35.
I don't know.
And then Bryn got his haircut, and I told this woman, I was like, let's shorten up the sides and the back. We can keep the top a little longer. He's got a lot of cowlicks. And she goes, okay. And she does the back and sides and did not touch his bangs, which went down past his into his eyes. And then I realized, oh, this woman does not speak literally a word of English.
You know, she's tired. She's making like $20 a haircut or whatever. I don't know.
I gave her a good tip. But then I had to be like, hey, could you do the bangs? And I felt bad because the couple was almost their turn. It was stressful.
Well, it all worked out.
That's how I feel this week.
Well, I think, you know, something's going on astrologically, and then today was the day where you could stand a broom on its end because the gravity was so strong, according to NASA or something. Did you see that?
What?
People on social media were like standing brooms like on the bristle end, like upright, and they would just like stand.
Because gravity's stronger?
I don't know. I never like, I just saw people sharing pictures, and then I never during the course of the day saw like the original source material. So it could be a total scam or it could be real.
You're just describing the internet, aren't you?
I am, but...
Boy.
I am.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step, and you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage, for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Mm. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This next segment is called Would You Knows. It's where we present each other with parenting hypotheticals.
Okay, Beth, are you ready for this? Yes. I've written a Would You Know scenario. I warn you, it's very stupid.
Good.
Okay, so this is the future. Maven is a full-grown adult, as is Bryn. But Maven comes to you and says, she gives you the news that she found out that she's unable to have her own children.
She gives me the news?
She tells you.
She tells me.
She finds out she can't have kids.
Okay.
And so she's jumping on a new fad that's happening, you know, because it's 2040-ish, around there, which is cloning has become a big thing.
Okay, so she's 23?
And let's say she's 30.
Okay.
Okay. Cloning has become normal.
27 years from now, cloning becomes completely normal.
Yeah, it starts in like 2 years and we all freak out about it. And then enough people do it and we're like...
And we're just like, ugh, whatever.
Whatever.
Everyone's a clone. Their clones are like egg accounts on Twitter.
We're like, we're people too. Just the new avatars.
I love the way this world is going.
So... Maven tells you she's very excited. She comes up and goes, Mom, I'm going to be a mom. And I'm having a baby. And I've decided it's a clone of you.
Wow.
And she's like, looking at you expecting you to be excited.
This is what scares me about her love of me sometimes is I'm like, did I train her to be this way? Like, am I this much of a narcissist that I made her think that she's supposed to be obsessed with me? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's like...
It's because you don't even know that your natural mode is hard to get. So our kids are thirsty for your presence.
Yeah. If she wanted to clone me, like, and I'm... This is 27 years from now. I'm... 61.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really impressive, actually, that I just did that math.
I didn't check it. It just sounded about right.
Okay, so I'm in my 60s. I've got, you know, 20, 30 years left on this planet at most. I, like, cloning a new me, it's not going to be me. It's going to be... a new person that happens to share my genes.
I gotta say, so far you're taking this pretty well.
Here's where it worries me, yeah. Is that I am not an ideal genetic specimen in terms of health and wellness. You know, like...
Yeah, but you made it to 61, so you know
what? It's true. And I look great.
It's implied, but in this scenario... You look great.
I do, because my daughter is like, I want to raise someone who ages like that.
Yeah.
But seriously.
Can I just say you every day I've known you, you've looked more beautiful than the last? Continue.
The thing is, my body is so beautiful, but it's not holding up great overall. You know, allergies, thyroid cancer, seasonal depression. It's not like...
Well, 63-year-old me thinks you're doing just fine.
Well, yeah. But on the inside... in the future where we have the ability to clone people, I wouldn't necessarily like wish these genes on to someone.
Yeah, but that's not why she's doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be weirder if she cloned herself. Boy, what, that's something.
That would be weirder, actually.
Weirder?
I think.
Be like, I'm gonna do it right this time. My parents fucked it up, and I'm going to raise me the way I wish I'd been raised.
There's part of me that's into it because, like, raising Maven, I see so much of my face in her and some other characteristics in terms of, like, personality traits. But, like, watching her grow up makes me, like, it feels like I learn to love myself in a way that is difficult, where, like, I'm like, oh, like, those cheeks are cute. Like, that's a cute person who looks like me. I guess I don't look disgusting. Like, it's just, as a woman, I feel like most of us are just so trained to be like, well, everything about me is wrong and bad and should have been fixed. And, like, so to see a smaller version of yourself, like...
And if, to love it unquestioningly.
Yeah, to love it. Like, I think that would be an interesting exercise. And, like, if that's part of my fate on this planet, I guess I'll hear...
Oh, boy, that's the ultimate therapy, is to raise your own clone baby, to realize that you're beautiful.
Yeah.
Because, of course, we would look at baby us
flawed
and be
but
like,
wonderful.
I mean, you've watched episode of Disney Plus's Encore, where they hold up a hedge. So in case you haven't watched Encore, they remount a high school production of a play 30 years later with the original cast. And so it's like a high school reunion where they come back and do the show. And it's a perfect concept. But they do this segment where they hold up a picture of themselves from like high school, or they like imagine themselves in high school and they're like, what would you say? And everyone always just starts bawling. But this is the ultimate version of that.
My friend Annie is starting a website where women or anyone can write letters to their former selves.
There you go.
It's coming out in March, I think. It's called Dispatch from the Daybreak. And I've read some of her samples from when she was doing the letter collecting, and it's like so emotional.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, I read this one from this woman I know who was writing to her pre-sober self.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know. It's like such a powerful reminder of like how much we change over the course of like 10, 20 years or whatever. Like, it's just like, oh, like things felt so horrible at that point. And yeah, then you get through it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It really is, because you watch, it's exactly that segment on that TV show where you watch these people with their eyes closed and they're doing this like thought exercise where like, I look next to you and there you are in high school and you're right there, that old haircut, and everyone just immediately with their eyes closed like starts sobbing. And it's like, what do you need to tell yourself? And everyone has the perfect thing to say, because no one knows that person more than they do. And it's this like, they're self-deprecating but earnest, and it's not self-congratulatory and it's not self-pitying, because they've personified themselves. It's this weird, it's so hard to mock.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's the word I was going for. What is the word? You know, hard to mock. Oh, yeah, beautiful. So let's say Maven does, you're like, okay, great, have my clone baby. So you'd see that clone become an adult and it would look exactly like you.
Yeah. I would always be saying like confusing things to her, like in the guise of those like letters to your former self. Like, I'd be like, it's okay. And she's like, no, it's fine. We all have like universal healthcare and like,
like, no, listen to me. If Tony Miller invites you to the Hollywood video, don't go. Grandma, what are you talking about? Remember Hollywood video? When I moved to New York City, there was a Hollywood video three blocks from me. That's how long I've...
Do I remember Hollywood video? Yeah.
Yeah.
Blockbuster?
Remember Blockbuster? I worked there for 3 summers. Great job.
I just tried to remember the name of my town's independent video store and it's gone.
I was just about to say, you had legitimately a far off look on your face.
I did. I was envisioning it in my mind, that warm feeling of going into your like local dingy little strip mall store.
We had Hotline Video and we had Box Office Video. And I would get them mixed up and I would sing the Blockbuster song for... Blockbuster song used to be Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference. But I would sing Box Office Video, which is wrong. Now that I'm thinking about it, Blockbuster Video, wow, what a difference. Difference from what? From other video stores?
Your parents' video stores.
Oh, you know what?
What?
I'm calling it. We're going to bed.
Good night. Bye.
Yeah, this has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. We're going out of town next week, so
Oh, check out Peter on the latest episode of High Maintenance on HBO. He has a very brief appearance.
Blink and you'll miss it, baby.
But don't blink and you'll love it.
Yeah, don't blink for the whole episode and you'll love that I'm there and I look like the guy and that's how I got the part.
Yeah. Buy my book, We Knows, my podcast.
We Knows what the title of the book is.
I know what I'm saying. The title of the book is There's No Manual, Honest and Gory Wisdom About Having a Baby.
Wherever you buy books right now, please write us an email, send us some advice, ask us a question, send us a would you know scenario, tell us about yourself, tell us about a current parenting victory or failure. You can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
Find us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at weknowspod.
Rate, review, subscribe. Rate my book on Amazon with 5 stars.
5 stars and say, this book will destroy your lack of baby knowledge.
Great. Yeah, say that.
Say that. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.